Please turn with me to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, just a wonderful scripture here this morning. Want to minister by God's grace, by His Holy Spirit on the prayer closet. We're starting just over the next few weeks. I want to deal with prayer. This is something that's been with me for a few months now, the necessity of just coming to this. But we don't want it to be sermons or teaching, but we want our hearts to be stirred with life and expectation of the reality of what prayer is, of the opportunities. There is no greater privilege than the privilege of coming to prayer. There is nothing in the entire world that it can accomplish more than prayer. All of your labors in this room, all the works of the church cannot accomplish what prayer can accomplish and does accomplish. I believe it is the most dynamic, powerful thing in our world, and yet it's so neglected by those who know these things most. Saints, if we neglect prayer in this church, we are neglecting a great treasure, and we are neglecting a great power that can come on the earth. I believe that it's through prayer that heaven comes on the earth. I believe it's through prayer that lives are changed. I believe it's through prayer that bondages are broke. I believe it's through prayer that the sick are healed. I believe it's through prayer that the lost get saved. If you need an emergency in your family, go to prayer. If you have a crisis in your own spiritual life, go to prayer. If you want God to move and do things that He done in this book, then go to prayer. I want to, over these few weeks, simply encourage you, to strengthen you and to exhort you. I don't want to condemn you. If you're here and already you know you've neglected prayer, you've neglected it, I don't want your heart to faint this morning. I want to encourage you. I want to exhort you. I want to whet your spiritual taste buds. I want you to be stirred and moved in heart to say, why sit I here until I die? I want you to be moved to say, God, help me if I'm going to do anything in this life of mine. I am going to touch God. I am going to pray. I am going to see heaven come. Please read with me in Matthew chapter 6 here this morning, reading from verse 1, and it says, take heed that you do not your alms before men to be seen of them, otherwise ye have no reward. What a statement. No reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily, I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. And when thou prayest, notice the next verses, when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. After this manner therefore pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Moreover, when ye fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou fastest, anoint thy head and wash thy face, but that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Let's pray together. Father, we do pray here this morning by your grace and your mercy. Will you minister faith into our hearts? Lord God, we know that prayer is a dynamic thing. We know that every individual that affected our world for any sort of good was a praying man and a praying woman. Anyone who truly walked with you was marked by the fragrance of prayer. Anyone used in revival to see souls saved, to see the sick healed, oh God, to reach nations, O God. Nor, God, we know, O God, it's only by prayer, the seeking of your face. Nor, God, I pray this morning, draw out our hearts to seek you. My God, I do pray, do miracles in individual hearts in this room. My God, bring us to a decision. Bring us to a place of change. My God, let faith arise in our hearts that we're going to become men and women of prayer. My God, I pray, O God, pour out the spirit of prayer and supplication on this church, on our families, oh God, on our individual lives. My God, when we drive in our cars, when we rise up in the morning, when we go to bed at night, my God, I'm praying, oh God, will you stir up prayers within our hearts, deep groanings and yearnings, nor God, that cannot even be expressed with the words of our mouth. My God, make us to groan as a church. Oh God, we ask of you that your name be glorified this morning, even in the preaching of the word. Lord God, let it accomplish, no God, your will. Let it accomplish that for which you speak it in Jesus' name. Bless it to our hearts, that your name might be glorified in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 6, just reading again. And it says, but thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. My message this morning is the prayer closet. As I said, I believe prayer is the most neglected thing in the church today. Not evangelism, not preaching, not teaching, not education, not music, not worship, none of these things. The greatest neglected thing in the church of our day is prayer. And I can assure you, the greatest neglect in this church is prayer. I can assure you, all of us in this room this morning need to hear a fresh call to pray. You know about prayer. I can't tell you anything about prayer that most of you don't know already. You've known it. You've tasted it. You've experienced it. But can I remind you this morning, your greatest intimacy with God that you ever experienced in the past, it came through prayer. The times when God came and intervened and done things that you testified about, it was an answer to prayer. The things that you have seen in your Christian life that so amazed you and left you in awe, they were accomplished by prayer. Look with me here what it says in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 5. It says, when thou prayest. Verse 6, when thou prayest. Verse 7, when thou prayest. There's a message from Christ here about praying. When you pray. He's given us instruction on how to pray, when to pray. He's given us details in order that we can bring heaven on earth, the blessing of God in the church, to bring the very will of God into our own lives. He says, when you pray. If you're in doubt that you're to be a praying man or woman, then you know nothing of the Bible, nothing of Christ, nothing of God, and nothing of an experience of walking with God. We read in Acts chapter 9 how that in the middle of the night, the Lord Jesus comes to a man called Ananias in Damascus. He wakes him up and he says, Ananias, I want you to go to a man called Saul of Tarsus. Saul had arrived in Damascus to kill, to destroy lives, to throw Christians in prison. And immediately Ananias cries out, but Lord, he begins to tell the Lord, you want me to go to Saul. Saul has come here. I have heard how he persecuted your children in Jerusalem. And you want me to get out of my bed, go to his door to say, where's Saul? I'm a Christian. You want me to do that. But you know what Jesus done to comfort his heart? Listen to what he said. Ananias, behold, Saul prayeth. You know what? Christ made Saul a praying man. He changed him from a persecutor to a preacher. But the first mark of Saul's life was he became a praying man. He'd only just been saved. He only just experienced Christ. He had only just had his sins forgiven. But immediately he becomes a praying man. If you're not a praying man, you're not a Christian man. If you're there and you don't think about prayer, you're not convicted about prayer, you're not stirred to prayer, then you're dead in your sins and you need born again this morning. You see, when you get born again, you want to pray, you desire to pray, you have to pray. You'll either die or pray, but you cannot be both. If you're going to be a real Christian, a living Christian, an alive Christian, a true Christian, then you are going to have to pray. Prayer is going to be a place that you knew. You know, Martin Luther, I can imagine all the arguments against prayer. Well, Brother Keith, you don't understand. Well, I've got my children. Well, look at my husband. Well, I've got my job. Well, I don't have the freedom you do. What a load of trash, that's all I can say. Martin Luther, that great reformer and revivalist, some 500 years ago, he wrote down in his diary one morning, he said, I have so much to do today. The burdens are so great. The tasks I have to do are so overwhelming that this morning I must first spend 3 hours in prayer. I would have only spent an hour or two in prayer, but because I have so many things to accomplish, I must go to prayer. My first priority, my one obligation, the only reason why I can do what I am going to do. Over in Luke chapter 11. Listen to what the disciples said to Jesus. Lord, teach us to pray. And Christ began to teach them. They didn't ask, teach us to do miracles. Teach us to preach. Teach us to heal the sick. Teach us to do wonderful works in the Holy Spirit. Teach us how to profoundly move a crowd of 10,000. Teach us how to feed the 5,000. Teach us how to walk in water. They didn't ask any of these things. The disciples who had been with Christ, who watched Christ, who knew Christ, who listened to him. Look what they asked. Lord, teach us to pray. You see, prayer needs to be taught. I know everyone just says, if you want to learn to pray, pray. That's true. That is true. But notice here, they ask Jesus, teach us to pray. In other words, open up the Word of God. Actually instruct us, teach us. Begin to lay it out for us. We need to be taught how to pray. We want you to instruct us from the written scriptures on how to pray. You see, saints, biblical instruction is vital when we come to prayer. Do you know what the Bible says about prayer? Do you know about the benefits? I challenge you this week. I challenge you this morning. Go back to your Bibles and begin to study prayer over the coming weeks. If you want to be a man or woman of prayer, then read about it, study it. Look up every single verse that has prayer in it. As you begin to see what an emphasis there is, how important it is, you're going to feel compelled. I must pray. I've got to pray. When you see the teaching of the Bible, you're instructed, you're taught, you come to understand what prayer is. Do you know why we teach about prayer? The Bible says faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. Do you want faith to stir in your heart? What's faith? A confidence. I want your hearts this morning. I want you to rise up with faith. I want you to have a confidence. I want to persuade you this morning that if you don't pray, that you're missing out on one of the greatest blessings that this world affords. I want you to feel this morning that if you're not locking yourself into prayer, if you don't have a prayer closet established, I want you to feel like you're bankrupt this morning. I want to feel you to feel like you're throwing gold away whenever you could have it in your pockets this morning. You see, faith cometh by being taught. As you're taught the Word of God, faith stirs up and faith is in action. You see, I know if you believe in prayer or have faith in this, because you'll go to prayer. You'll establish a prayer altar. You'll have a prayer closet. It's the mark of faith. If you walk out of here at the end of my message with faith in your heart, you're going to say things are going to change. I am going to pray. I am going to touch God. I am going to bring heaven into my family. You see, that's what faith does. Faith rises and you go, I am convinced if I begin to pray, I'm convinced if I touch God, something's going to change. My spiritual life's going to change. My husband, my wife, my children, my parents, some other family member. I believe in my heart. I am persuaded. If you have faith, you're going to pray. If you don't believe what I'm saying, if you don't believe Christ, if you don't believe the Word of God, if you don't believe the Holy Spirit, this will not affect you. You may say, yes, I believe in prayer. But if you're not moved to prayer, you believe absolutely nothing. Also, they asked him, Lord, teach us to pray, because they needed practical instruction. We're not just there going, move as the Spirit moves you. There are practical instructions to help you. I want to help you this morning, especially on this issue of prayer. If you hear the practical advice, the simple, natural advice I give to you, it could revolutionize your entire Christian walk. It could affect you for a lifetime. If you put in place what I exhort you to do here this morning, your life will not be the same. You could be steered out of crisis, out of spiritual apostasy, into a lifetime walk with God that is blessed of heaven. Do you want that this morning? Do you want God to walk with you? Do you want to bring the blessing of God into your home? Do you want to enjoy fellowship with God? Then please hear me this morning. There are practical things I'm going to deal with here to help you. And then there's encouragement. They asked him, teach us to pray, because they needed encouraged in this thing called prayer. We're told in Romans chapter 8 and verse 26... and the Apostle Paul writing, he says, likewise, the Spirit, talking about the Holy Spirit, also helpeth our infirmities. What are infirmities? They are weaknesses. They are things that come with us being human, being in a physical body, having natural minds, having a fallen nature, living in a world that's busy and is against our God. That's what infirmities are. It's what is part of you as your human nature. And here Paul says, likewise the Spirit helpeth or aideth our infirmities. Do you feel weak in this area of prayer? Do you feel you struggle? Do you say, say, I can't get the time, or I can't get through to God, or I can't get a clear mind, or there's things surrounding me, then here this morning in this message, the Spirit of God wants to help your infirmities. Think of your infirmities this morning. What is hindering you in being a praying man or a praying woman of God? What is it? I can assure you, the dominant thing is your infirmities. And it says the Spirit helps our infirmities. He doesn't just point them out. He doesn't condemn you because of your infirmities. He doesn't just point these things out and expose them. He says, I'm here to help you. Do you hear this morning? The Holy Spirit of God who lives within you is saying, I want to help you in the area of prayer. I want to do it if you'll allow me. You have weaknesses. You have frailties. You have things you can't get past. And you won't be able to of your own self. But I, the Spirit of God who lives in you, I want to help you in this area of prayer. He says, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought to. Maybe your inability, you feel the restriction in this area of prayer. I want to lift off the lid and tell you, let the Holy Spirit come in and help you. Are you allowing the Holy Spirit to help you in prayer? Are you allowing Him to pray in you and through you? Or have you made space in your life to say, here I am, an open vessel. I am filled with frailties. I am filled with inability. I cannot change myself, but I want you to take absolute control. You know what the Bible says? The Holy Spirit helpeth. He aids. He will enable you. He'll come and rescue you. He'll come alongside you and say, just walk with me. Walk in step with the Spirit. Saints, it says in Ephesians chapter 6 verse 18, praying always. Praying always. The Bible does teach praying always, that we're always to pray. That doesn't mean we can pray 24 hours a day or 12 hours during daylight. It doesn't mean it praying out every moment of the day. And actually, to pray always means at every opportunity, in every situation. It means to pray regularly. It was St. Patrick in his letter, as a shepherd on the hillsides, as a slave. You know what he said? 100 times during the day I prayed. 100 times in the night, the Spirit of God woke me up and I prayed. Saints, there is a place of praying always. If your prayer life is restricted to a 5-minute mumbling down the highway or to coming to a church prayer meeting, then you don't know Jesus Christ. The Bible teaches that the Christian, the normal Christian life, the victorious Christian life, the spiritual Christian life, we are praying always. We find our heart drawn out at all sorts of times during the day to pray. Jesus in Luke 18, he says, and he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. You will either pray or you will faint. If you pray, you won't faint. If you faint, it's because you didn't pray. These two things are before all of us. Are you going to pray or are you going to faint? Men ought always to pray. You say you're fainting. You're not going to make it. You're struggling. You don't know how you're going to manage. You're there saying, my heart is fainting. I'm about to collapse spiritually. You're not praying. You say, oh, I did pray. You're not praying. Saints, if you pray, you will not faint. This preacher won't faint. You mummies won't faint. All of you, you will not faint if you pray. If you pray always, that is prayer throughout the day, every day, from morning to evening, in the night when you wake up, pray. Pray unto the Lord at night. But there's also specific times of prayer. Not just general prayer. Not just a spirit of prayer. Not just a desire to speak to our Lord. Not just spontaneous prayers when the need arises. But there are specific times of prayer in the Bible. In Acts chapter 3, in the midst of the Pentecostal revival, we read that Peter and John went up together. into the temple at the hour of prayer. It's a revival and there's a set time to pray. And those two men of God said, we're going up to the temple. There was a place to pray. There was a time to pray. It was an organized prayer meeting. And they said, we're going up. There are specific times of prayer laid out in the Bible. I wished every time you sit down to eat, you pray. That's a good regular time to pray for the blessing of God. I was on the phone yesterday to France in Germany. And he's a school teacher, working as a school teacher. He sat down, he's working with all these young kids. He sat down to have his meal at lunchtime. What did he do? He bowed his head and he just simply prayed, not for anyone, not to make a show. He simply bowed. Well, the next thing he looks up, there's a 7-year-old boy sitting beside him, staring at him. He said, what are you doing? He says, I'm praying. Why are you praying? Who are you praying to? What's all this about? He started to talk to him, tell him about Jesus and God. This is all he's had with this young boy. This young boy is plaguing him. I want a Bible. Is God Jesus? Is Jesus God? How does all this work? I want to understand this. 7 years old. He's saying, so you don't have a television. This isn't in the classroom. This is just this boy drawn because somebody prayed over their meal. This little boy is plaguing him. And he's saying, so you don't have a television. What do you watch? YouTube. What do you watch on YouTube? Sermons. What's a sermon? Well, it's preaching. It's a man preaching, telling you what the Bible says. And he said, who do you listen to? Well, I want the names. I want the sermons. I want to go and listen to these. Will you get me a Bible? Since you don't know who's watching, there are specific times to pray. There's a time to pray and to seek the Lord. But there's also all prayer. You see, in Ephesians 6:18, it talks about all prayer. That means all kinds of prayer. There's not just one kind of prayer. There's public prayer when we gather together. There's private prayer. There's communion where we pray just fellowshipping and loving the Lord Jesus like we did round the Lord's table. There's also supplication prayer. That is making your needs known to the Lord. There's intercessory prayer where you pray for others, not for yourself. You're an intercessor. You're praying, standing in the gap on behalf of someone who is lost or someone who is a crisis. There's a prayer of faith that we pray for the sick. And there's agreement in prayer where we agree together with one or two or more people. And the Bible says there's a power and agreement. And anything we agree on as touching anything, it shall be done for us. There's spiritual war in prayer where we wrestle with the devil. There's prayer and fasting where we add fasting to our prayer. It's not enough sometimes just to pray. Nothing's happening. You're praying, nothing happens. Then begin to fast. That's what the Bible speaks about. There's specific kinds of prayer and certain things that you're to pray for. 1 Timothy 2:1. I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercession, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and a peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. Then in verse 8 it says, I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath, without anger, and without doubt and without unbelief. So we see that there's specific teaching on prayer in the Bible. That's why the disciples said, teach us to pray. You know, and the Bible is filled with it. This is how you pray. This is how to use one of the greatest powers at your fingertips. This is how the greatest ministry in the church. Since preaching isn't the greatest ministry. Evangelism isn't the greatest ministry. To be a prophet isn't the greatest ministry. The greatest ministry in the church is the prayer ministry, where we pray for one another and we pray for others and we pray for our city and our nation. This is a ministry open to all of you. It doesn't matter about your education or your eloquence or the amount of money you have. It's got nothing to do with your charisma or some supernatural gifting. prayer is open to all of us in this room. You see, there are also specific places to pray. If you knew all the places I prayed, you wouldn't believe it. I prayed in the most strange places. I've sat in Heathrow Airport. I'm deep in prayer. I've been in planes and tanks and driving over the Iraqi border with tanks on fire either side of me. I'm praying. I can pray anywhere. I can pray everywhere. I've been running with a squad of soldiers, and as we're running up hills, I'm praying for their conversion. You see, saints, there's nothing in your life can hinder you in praying apart from your own heart attitude. You can have prayer stolen from you. You can have faith taken out of your heart. You can neglect prayer. But here this morning, I'm just getting you warmed up here for what I'm about to deliver. Here this morning, I want to deal with something very specific. I'm dealing with a specific time, a specific place, and a specific kind of prayer. It's called the prayer closet. Look again with me at Matthew 6 verse 6. It says, but thou. Do you know what the word thou means there? But thou. It means you, singular. You see, here this morning, this sermon, I'm not talking to you generally as a church. I'm not. I'm not talking about our Friday night prayer meeting. I'm not talking about us praying before our meetings. I'm not. But thou. This is a word from Christ. But thou. The word thou means you, not everybody around you. It means you, only you, specifically you. Christ is talking personally to you here this morning. You as an individual person. He has just spoken about hypocrites in the verse before. Look at verse 5. When thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are. You see, Christ points out what hypocrites look like as they pray. They love to pray standing. They're in a position. They have a standing position. They want to be noticed. It also says standing in the synagogues where God's people gather together publicly. They like to stand. They like to be heard. Also in the corners of the streets. You know what the Jews used to have? They had set times to pray, a bit like the Muslims on our own streets. They have a set time and they love to be seen lifting up their hands and praying very religiously at that set time and say, we're very faithful men and women of prayer. Look at us, we're praying. And they've done it in the streets. If they're there shopping and they're in the market and suddenly their alarm goes off and they go, oh, I've got to pray. And the Muslims, they'll get their prayer mat out and they get down and pray and do all of that. Do you know what Jesus warned us about? Hypocrisy in prayer. Do you know hypocrisy destroys prayer? Because God doesn't listen. God's not looking. God's not interested. God's not deceived by it. Your prayer life is a mess if it's merely hypocrisy. And he says they love to be on the corners of streets. Notice, when you're on the corner, you get two-way traffic. If you're somewhere down the street, you just got. But stand on the corner, man, I can get as many as possible. They're aware of themselves. There's a lot of actors. The word hypocrite means an actor. You put on a show, you put on a dress. It's not really who you are. It's not what you are in private. You actually put this on for public display in the church, in front of others. You want to be seen by others, but it's not real. Notice Christ says, but thou, when thou prayest. Underline that statement, when. We've had this in verse 5, verse 6, verse 7. When thou prayest. You see, Jesus takes it for granted. A Christian does pray. There's no such thing as a Christian who doesn't pray. It's impossible. He doesn't say, if you pray. He says, when you pray. You see, prayer is evidence there's spiritual life in you. It's evidence there's spiritual fruit within you. It is a testimony that the Spirit of God indwells you. If you allow prayer to diminish, you have let spiritual life diminish. You can have spiritual life. Oh yes, publicly you can. In front of others you can. But real spiritual life depends on when you pray. It's not a hope so, it's a definite. Many years ago, B.H. Clendenin was preaching in a big tent. I think it was in Hawaii or somewhere like that. 6,000 people there in that tent. And he preached on prayer. And he said this. He said, a Christian man is a praying man. He quoted John Bunyan. And he said, if you don't pray, you're not a Christian. In other words, prayer is the very life of a Christian. Saints, if you're not praying, you are in a spiritual crisis. You may not be getting drunk. You may not be committing adultery or fornication. But you are in a spiritual crisis if you're neglecting prayer. This is the most necessary thing. You can't imagine if you begin to pray how it will revolutionize your life. That's why he says when you pray. But listen, Brother Clendenin, and he's preaching on this thing of prayer. He gets out of the tent and Jan Crouch of TBN, the biggest Christian television revival Christian station in the world, gets broadcast out across the world. Well, Jan Crouch come with her microphone, comes up to Brother Clendenin, said, Brother Clendenin, did I misunderstand you? I thought in listening to you that you seem to be saying that if you don't pray, you're not a Christian. He says, you heard me good. You fully understood. I did make you understand what I meant. He says, but Brother Clendenin, that's legalism. That's legalism. That's Pharisaicalism. And he responded, he said, if prayer is legalism, then Jesus was the most legalistic person who ever walked the face of the earth. You know why? He prayed early. He prayed all night. He prayed alone. He prayed with friends. He was a praying man. And that's why the disciples said, teach us how to pray. You know what? They saw the miracles come from the prayer. The changed lives come from the prayer. The bread being multiplied, it comes out of prayer. Changing the demon possessed comes out of prayer. All of this flows out of prayer. Walking right, controlling your tongue, thinking right, acting right, responding with love when others hate you, it all comes out of prayer. Doing the right thing, doing the will of God, it all comes out of prayer. When thou prayest. You see what that means? It means there's got to be a set time when you pray. This isn't all prayer. This is specific prayer. When thou prayest, it is taken for granted that you're going to set a time that in your schedule, and I know we all have busy schedules, you have organized, you have pre-planned. If you don't plan or set a time to pray, you don't pray. It's like people who give, they say, oh yes, I give to God. Oh, I feel convicted. I'll drop something in the basket. You don't give. If you don't have a regular amount, if you don't think it through, if you don't plan it, I assure you, you're robbing God. It is guaranteed, because you'll always give less than you think you're given, and you always think you're given more than you're actually given. It gets the end of the year, if the Lord comes and says, sure, you only give that. No, Lord, I give lots more than that. No, no, you've got no plan strategy. You're just giving as you feel led by the Holy Spirit as your heart's moved. You know what? When thou prayest is a planned, organized schedule. You have a time to pray, a place to pray. You have planned this. Saints, this is not legalism. This is not dead religion. We're not those who say, I just pray when the Spirit moves me. That's not good enough. Jesus said, when you pray, those who discipline themselves to pray, have a set time, who say, I'm going to pray. Oh, but I feel dead. I feel empty. I don't know what to say. Then stay there till you do. I tell you, lie in your face, walk back and forth, read the Bible. I always go to prayer. I read the Bible first. You know why? As I read it, I'm reading through. My heart is moved to pray. If I come and go, I feel empty. Read the Word of God first. Within 20 to 30 minutes, I'm going, oh God, help me. Lord, make this real in my life. Lord, I know you're speaking to me. He says, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. When thou prayest, You're a Christian, of course you pray. Of course you want to pray. Of course you desire to pray. Of course you have difficulties and infirmities. But prayer is the most vital part of your Christian walk. Not coming to church on a Sunday. Not putting money in the basket. Not telling someone about Jesus. All of that is secondary. The most important thing is you pray. You want to pray. You've got to pray. You must pray. This is the very heart of a Christian. When thou prayest, enter into thy closet. Oh, I just pray anywhere. I walk around the place praying. Listen to what Jesus says. Enter into thy closet. There's got to be a time when you enter into your closet to pray. This means that Jesus is teaching a certain place. Somewhere that is set apart specifically for prayer. It's not shared with other things. It's consecrated. It is sanctified. You've said that place, that time is God's. It's not anybody else. It's not even the churches. That belongs to God alone, and I don't want anyone else to have it. It is a personal place. You're alone. Your wife isn't there. Your husband isn't there. Jimmy Jones isn't there. Sally isn't there. Saints, it's wonderful to pray with others and pray as a church and pray often and pray with every Christian you meet. All of that is wonderful, but that isn't sufficient. Look what Jesus is saying. Enter into thy closet, your closet, singular, not plural, not many, not two, one of you. You've got to enter into your personal prayer closet. Notice it's accessible. Do you think Christ asks you things that you can't do? I know he does many things. It's the Spirit that does it. But this prayer closet, all of yous have it. You'll say, oh, I don't have a prayer closet. Yes, you do. It's just you don't know it's a prayer closet yet. It may be a closet at the moment, but I want it to be filled with prayer. It may have your brooms. It may have Henry Hoover. It may have all of your littered stuff, your old bags, old coats that you wouldn't wear, hats that are out of style now, and things you don't want anyone else to see. You just push it all into that. I want to tell you, you've got a closet. I know it's not filled with prayer. I know you haven't consecrated it. But you all have a place of prayer. All of you have a closet. This word closet in the Greek is mentioned only 4 times in the New Testament. And Matthew 6 is the first time Christ ever uses this word closet. First time he ever used it. And you know what? It's dedicated to prayer. It's dedicated to prayer. Over in Matthew 24:26, this same word is called secret chambers. Then in Luke 12:24, it's called storehouses. What was a closet? Every house had one. Even the poor had one. The man who barely had a house had one. Those who only had one main room in their house, they still had a closet somewhere. What is a closet? It's a small cupboard or a small storeroom. It's a private chamber, usually built over the porch, the entrance to your house. It was above, out of the way, that it didn't encumber anything. It wasn't a place that you could squeeze everybody into. It was too small, too private. You don't have parties in there. You don't put your children in the cupboard. I hope you don't put your children in the cupboards, that's for sure. But this cupboard was often above the entrance to the house. And it was exactly the same size as the porchway into your house. It was raised a story above your house, and it was a private place. Nobody goes into the closet, normally speaking. Those who love fellowship and to be with people and to be seen with people, can you imagine opening your cupboard where the brooms and the Hoover is, and you've got soap tucked in there? Soap, what are you doing? I'm praying. Okay, I'll just shut the door on you. Saints, it's available to all of us. It doesn't have to be a room. It could be your car. It could be a garden shed. D.L. Moody, that man who shook America. and shook Britain and shook Ireland. He shook Dublin. He shook Belfast. Tens of thousands of souls coming in. You know, there was a time all he had was the shed at the bottom of his garden. He had two twin boys. Those boys climbed on him, wanted him to be a horse. He loved to play with his children, but he had to have a closet. That closet was the old garden shed at the end of that garden. Do you realize it became a place to meet God, to prepare a man that would shake nations? In that garden shed, it's only an old garden shed. The paint is crumbling over it. The thing stinks. The wind blows through it. It is nothing. But it became a sacred place where heaven came down on a man, where a man so pleaded with God that nations were affected by those prayers. Saints, I believe in such a God. I believe He'll do it for you. You see, Jesus says, enter into thy closet. In Acts 10 and 9, it says, Peter went up onto the housetop. He was with Simon the tanner. Simon's a good believer. They had lovely fellowship. They prayed together. But a time come where Peter says, I need to be alone. I need a closet. I'm visiting with a friend. I'm here with a Christian. But I need privacy. Saints, do you understand the need for private prayer? Public prayer can never satisfy that need. And it says Peter went up in the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. He goes up on top of the roof, away from Christian fellowship, in order to pray. In Acts chapter 9 verse 40, we read about Peter being called to the home of Dorcas. She has just died. Everybody is crying. And as he enters into the house, it says all the ladies there are weeping and crying. Have you ever seen Middle Eastern women mourn for the dead? Have you ever seen them? They are yelling. Those old mamas, those big mature mamas, I tell you, they're weeping, they're crying, they beat their breasts, they're pulling their hair, they're crying tears. That's how you mourn. See, those Middle Eastern people know how to mourn. We've lost the ability. We smile, tell stories, say yes, everything's going to be okay. They're in heaven. Jimmy Jones, tell lots of stories. We've lost the ability to mourn in our generation. But here's Peter enters into her house. The young lady was on the third floor, the top of the house, laid out on her bed. She's dead. She's gone. It's over. And these older ladies, they're holding the garments she used to make. See, it's got all sentimental. They're crying. They're broken. What's mommy gonna do? What's the family gonna do? And they're handing around these garments saying, look what she used to make. No more garments. No more knitting. No more giving us garments or buying garments from Dorcas. Look what it says in Acts 9:40. But Peter put them all forth. Look what this room was filled with. Crying, yelling, unbelief, noise. What's the first thing Peter does? He puts them all out of the room. Not very nice, is it? But you know what? He says, I can't pray in the midst of all that noise. I can't pray in the midst of all that sentiment. I can't pray in the midst of all that unbelief. So he actually puts them outside the room. He removes them. He says, I'm not going to pray while they're here. I won't get any amens, I assure you. So he puts them forth and it says he kneeled down. Kneeling isn't religious or legalistic for a Christian. Remember what was said about Sister Una, our 98-year-old friend, just a week ago, asking for prayer. She says, Sister Candice, now, you pray for me because I'm struggling to get down on my knees to pray. I need God to touch me. I need to be on my knees praying. A 98-year-old woman. Most Christians don't have that problem. They don't pray. They don't have a place to pray or a time to pray. But Peter, he shut all those people out and he knelt down and he prayed. He got rid of the distractions. He had a place to prayer. Saints, do you have a place to prayer? Jesus said, enter into your closet alone. You need a place to pray away from others, away from noise, away from distraction. I know that can be hard. I know you're going to have to make a decision. You're going to have to plan. You're going to have to organize. But there's not one of us cannot have a prayer closet. And he says, when thou hast shut the door, You don't go into your prayer closet and pray. No, you do something first. Jesus said, when you enter your prayer closet, you've got to have a place to pray. Shut the door before you pray. Have you ever tried to pray with distractions? Have you? All of yous know that. Surrounded by distractions, try praying. You start getting angry. You start going in a different direction. You're not moving heavenly. You're moving towards the earth. There's all these distractions, the noise, the comments, all sorts of things. You know what? Some of yous need to learn to clear the house out now and again. When thou hast shut the door. Jesus taught us this. Before you begin to pray, you've got to shut the door. Have a closet. Have a time. Shut the door. Do you have a prayer door? Not a prayer closet, not a prayer door. Do you have a door that you close? And everything that's a hindrance is on the other side. You see, you may say, but it's too important. Family's too important. Don't get the priorities wrong. Work is too important. Fellowship is too important. Church is too important. Then you're too busy. You're too busy. You've got all your priorities long. Education, too important. All of these things are very important, I know. And like Luther, oh, look at all the things you ought to be praying more than anyone. If you're the busiest person, if you're the hardest worker, if you have the biggest family, if you have the most noisome and troublesome of children, you need to pray more than anybody in this room. It demands of you that you go to prayer. You need to shut out the burdens, the worries, the distractions. You need to shut out. You need to leave your phone outside. Facebook needs to go outside. All of your gadgets, all of your hobbies, all of your entertainment. If you love fellowship with other Christians more than fellowship with God, your Christian fellowship stinks. Do you hear me? Your fellowship will lose the aroma of heaven. You say, oh, I love to fellowship with Christians. Well, maybe it stinks. Maybe you need to go back in your prayer closet alone with no one else and lie on your face and you go, I feel so empty. Good. Good. You know what? In these weeks, we're going to get probing on you. We're going to find, is it your appendix that need dealt with? Is it your liver? What is it? Is it your joints or your muscles or your hip needs replaced? We're going to find out. As I probe on you, see as soon as you say in this meeting, this gathering, don't go there. We've found the spot. That's it. We need to keep pressing alone. If the thought of lying on your face scares you, alone for an hour in the presence of God scares you, then we found the cause of all your ailments, your problems. I'll tell you an awful lot about you whenever that is the problem. Shut your door. Don't try to pray without shutting the door. I'm not talking about all prayer. I'm talking about specific prayer. There is a shutting of the door. Then he says, pray to thy Father. That's intimacy. That is privacy. That is a relationship. He doesn't say, pray to Christ. No. He doesn't say, pray to the Spirit. That's taught nowhere in the Bible. Praying to the Spirit isn't in the Bible. It's not heretical. It's not sinful. It's just not biblical. He says, when you get in there, pray to your Heavenly Father, which is in secret. That means private, concealed, away from eyes. This isn't the hypocrite's prayer. Everyone's watching, everyone's listening. Man, I could touch the heavens. Then I'm alone and I'm droopy. Man, I could shake the nations in a prayer meeting and I'm alone with God. And I look at my watch after a minute. Saints, you need to be alone in that secret place. You've got to get a victory. You've got to have a place to pray. Regular time of private, personal, intimate communion with Christ. Do you realize your public prayers are the overflow of your private prayers? All preaching, the Lord's table, ministry to kids, ministry in your family, to one another, doing all the things in worship, in evangelism. It's the overflow of prayer. Susanna Wesley, who lived in the 18th century. Man, I'm going to get you mothers. I know all the arguments. We all, hey, who doesn't have an argument why you cannot pray as you ought to pray? No one, no hand, good. Susanna Wesley in the 18th century had 19 children. 9 of them died during those years. Her days were full and busy. But in her youth, seeing all these children, she promised the Lord that she was going to keep daily closet prayer. No matter what the problems of life was. Do you know she had a husband who kept them in debt? She had a husband who was a bit of a handful. A husband who had all these pipe dreams but accomplished nothing. He wasn't paying the bills. He was even put in prison for a time. He's a Christian preacher, but he got put in prison. This lady had problems. She raised these children almost single-handedly, and yet there was no defeat in that life. There was no excuse. There was no reason for not having prayer. Since she was raising a brood of rowdy, troublesome children. But she had a prayer closet. She taught those children as they grew up. She didn't have a cupboard to go into. She didn't have a car. She didn't have another room. She didn't have a private room. She couldn't do that. Do you know what she done? She sat in the middle of that living room where they all were, and she picked up her old wood, her old dress, and threw it over her head. And she taught them all, when I put that dress over my head, don't you bother mommy. Don't you fight with one another. Don't you start a row, or I'll get the rod out after that my prayer time. But that's my prayer closet. Saints, there's never a good enough reason not to pray. You may say your burdens are too much. Those who have no burdens, who have too much time, it can be harder for them. Having lots of time can become a curse. Don't tell me, if only I had more time, if only I had more space. That isn't the answer. Those who have much time and much space have the very same problem as you. Because it's not the children, it's not your work hours, it's none of these things. It's the flesh, it's the infirmities, it's what we all face here. Prayer is the hardest thing in all of the world to do. It is hard to prevail with God. It's hard to get into the prayer closet. And when you get into the prayer closet, it's hard to get through to God at times. Saints, all of us experience this. Don't think that it's harder for anyone else. Let me finish here. And he says, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. I want to tell you, we don't serve him for rewards. We love him. He saved me. He changed me. But all through this book, it talks about rewards. God holds forth rewards. He says in Hebrews 11 and 6, without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God, talking about prayer, he that cometh to God must believe that he heareth. Must believe that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. Must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. In other words, if prayer is going to work in your life, you've got to believe he's a rewarder of those who seek him. You see, if you don't believe he answers prayer and that he won't reward you, how will you ever pray? Will he answer? Will he not answer? Does prayer work? When you get filled with unbelief and say, oh, I tried praying, nothing happened, your prayer life's destroyed. When you say, oh, sure, I tried that, you tried nothing. You tried nothing. You either have never really prayed, or else you've lost faith in the Word of God. You see, the Bible says that if you pray in secret to your Father, and you get alone, and the only audience is your Heavenly Father, the audience isn't your family, or your friends, or your church, the only audience is your Father. Since this is true prayer, you are only spiritually what you are, on your knees, alone with God. That's who you are. That's what you are. You're no more than that. That is exactly what you are. That reveals your spiritual condition. And I don't want to discourage anyone. I want to stir you. I want to challenge you. Because alone in that secret place with your Father seeth in secret. That, in that prayer closet, the Father is waiting for you. Do you hear me? Here today, as you leave here this week, God is waiting on you. He is there looking for you in the prayer closet. He said, I spoke to them Sunday. I'm waiting for them Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday. You know why? I want to answer prayers. If you don't give me prayers, how do I answer them? I want to change your life, but you don't come and seek me. I want to move in your family. I want to bring sinners in here to this church. It's not enough that we pray on a Friday night. It's not enough that we do our duty in church or come on a Sunday morning. Saints, we need to be alone. God wants to save souls. God wants to change your life. God wants to do miracles around you that you haven't even comprehended. But you know what he's saying? If you don't pray in secret, the Father doesn't see in secret. But if you pray in secret, he sees in secret and he rewards you openly. In other words, what happens secretly in that prayer closet, saints, it does get rewarded. In other words, he returns it. You can't pray and not get an answer. It's impossible. You would have to, God would have to deny himself. We'd have to throw out this Bible. If God doesn't reward you, set yourself to pray this week. Hear me as I close. I am challenging you. I am encouraging you. I am begging you. Will you pray this week? Will you seek him? Will you establish that prayer closet? Will you throw out unbelief? Will you throw out the excuses? Will you kick out the devil? Will you do all of that? Will you shut the door? Will you find a place, whether it's a dress over your head with kids running round you, woo-woo-woo, using you as a wigwam, or whether it's in the workplace with people working on the machines beside you. Saints, I've been in it all and I've never neglected that place. I go, there's never a good enough reason to do it. You know why? God will reward you this week. If you seek him, he's going to reward you. What you pray into will be affected by God. You pray into the meetings this coming week, God is going to be here. You pray for your own spiritual condition, God is going to meet with you in a real way. It's not when, or where, or how, but it's why. It's the motive of your heart. It's a revealing of your heart. Do you want God? Do you have faith in God? Do you want him to move in your life? If you want him to move in your life, you're going to pray. Let's stand here.